Well, I think we can start. I'd like to call the January 23rd, 2023 meeting to order. And the first order of business, we need to be swearing in Mr. Ramos, reappointed trustee.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Ohio, and that you will faithfully and impartially discharge your duties as a member of the Board of Trustees of the Claremont County Public Library in Claremont County, Ohio, to the best of your ability and in accordance with the laws now in effect and hereafter to be enacted during your term of office?
I will.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. We're back.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, we need a roll call.
Ms. Cardwell?
Here.
Ms. Wade?
Here.
Ms. Casica?
Here.
Ms. Ramos?
Here.
Ms. Dawes?
Here.
Ms. Humphrey?
Here.
Ms. Lyon, not coming?
Correct.
And let's please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We're going to have committee report for Board Officer Nomination Committee. And just so you know, the new board officers will begin at the February meeting. So, Judy, would you like to make the report?
Sure. At the last meeting in December, Mr. Cardinal, as president, designated myself, Tricia Lyons, and either Mary Jo Waite or Ernie Ramos to serve, and Ernie Ramos was reappointed by the Common Police Court. Tricia and I spoke that very night, and I spoke with Mr. Cardinal several times and had an in-depth conversation with Tricia, who very graciously called all the members. The consensus of the members is that we're going to nominate Jennifer Doss as president, Anthony Cardinal as vice president, and Mary Jo Waite as secretary for calendar year 2023. So I move that we appoint these three individuals in those particular officerships for 2023.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Jenny.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We now need to appoint the director and fiscal officer. Do we have a motion? Move one at a time.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. I'd like to do each one individually.
I would designate Chris Wick as director for the Claremont County Public Library for calendar year 2023.
Okay. We have a second. And all in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You can't be opposed. Okay, motion carries. And
so moved.
We'd not like to.
I assume that you're talking about the designation of our fiscal officer?
Correct.
Maura Gray?
Correct. So moved.
Second.
Mr. Humphrey seconds. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Maura.
We are.
Okay. All right, need a motion for the approval of the December 19, 2022 minutes?
So moved, Humphrey.
I'll second.
Mr. Humphrey makes the motion, Mr. Scott seconds. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We have no public participation this evening. Okay, fiscal officer's report.
I have just a couple of things before I get into the bills paid, the financial reports. And I'm going to sort of start at the bottom with number four. Our RC3 was accepted by the state, and they also accepted our RC2, which is not required. We didn't make any changes to that, but that was also accepted by the state.
So you're talking about the records commission, correct?
Yes, the records commission. They did it a little bit differently this year. They actually notified me by email, which I thought was very nice. Normally, we wait for the snail mail green, do some certified mail to come back to let us know that they got it. But they were very punctual this year. At the last meeting, we asked for some HSA data on our HSA. And what I was able to find was in 2022, we had 15% of our staff deducting enough money to have to meet the IRS maximum. Out of 61 individuals, there were 19 that were able to meet the IRS max. This year, with the changes that you made, increasing the library contribution to $19.25, of 60 people participating, 42 met the IRS max, and that's 70%. So we went from 15% to 70%. And there are several individuals that don't qualify for the HSA. Either they have the PPO or they have aged out and can't contribute to an HSA savings plan. They still have the HSA policy or the high deductible policy, but they don't have the HSA savings plan. We have the offer from ODOT for the UT property. We will be looking at the fair market value of that property. We've sent all of the documents on to the prosecutor's office, and we need to schedule a building committee meeting. ODOT would like to wrap this up by May 1st.
By when?
May 1st. There were some changes to the ELF after the last meeting. The June estimate for 2023 was $7,183,000, roughly. The December estimate decreased by $375,000 to $6,808,000. So there is a decrease. And when you looked at the financial report, we are within a couple hundred dollars of what the state estimate was. So that huge increase that we have been seeing for months and months and months was not evident in January. And the regular financial report. There's nothing out of the ordinary. You have your bank reconciliation, followed by your check register, all of the check registers. This month is a end of quarter, so you've got patron refunds and staff reimbursements listed separately. You have the month-to-date and year-to-date fund and bank reports, system balancing report, and ELF report for the year, which just started. And we will go into the resolutions and new business. There is a typo on resolution 2023-03. The second whereas should end in 2022, not 2021.
I have a question. The process for the sale of land at Union Township, that'll go to the building committee and then come back to us at
yes.
the executive session, and
yes.
then we'll come in the regular session and make a decision.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I had one question more about the encumbrances that are there. Are we looking at needing all of those and not letting those In other words, are they there in order to pay existing bills or anticipated bills?
Anticipated bills, yes. There's always a prior period where if we close a purchase order, say we had a purchase order open for $100 and the bill came in and it was $75, that $25 goes back into original fund balance. It is not appropriated, but it does go back into fund balance.
Thank you. Are we looking at getting that wrapped up by the first quarter of the year?
I was closing 2021 POs in December.
Any other questions?
Are they closed now?
No, all of the 2021 POs, I believe so. There might be one or two that are out there, but I believe most of them have been paid. Okay. I mean, we are on the 23rd of the month. We've got a couple of bills that straddle in.
Thank you.
Good job.
Any other questions? Okay, I need a motion for the December 2022 financial reports.
Make a motion to accept the financial reports.
Mr. Humphrey makes the motion. We have a second.
Second.
Mr. Remo seconds. All in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed? Motion's carried. Motion carries. Need a motion for the December 2022 bills paid.
Make a motion.
Ms. Stas makes the motion.
Second.
Ms. Wade seconds. All in favor signify. Any questions? Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And the RC3 acceptance by state. Do you want to mention that? Or just, I know. Just want to go ahead and ask.
As long as it's in the minutes, I think we're good.
Okay. Okay. Do we have a motion?
To acknowledge the receipt of it?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Kosiga makes the motion. Ms. Wade seconds. Ms. Wade seconds. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Mr. President, are we separating the Blue Cross Blue Shield or Anthem or whatever we're calling it as we have in the...
I don't see it on here, but I guess we should.
It's on the new one that Chris gave me.
Oh, it's updated on your...
Oh.
For your electronic copy.
Oh.
Okay, we need a motion. Did you abstain for this last one?
I will.
No. Oh. That's what I wanted to ask. What happened there?
Not yet.
Okay. I didn't have that. Okay, so we need a motion for the December 2022 bills paid Anthem.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain. Very good. Okay. Moving on. Director's report.
Testing.
Working.
Before I give my report, I would like to introduce you to our new information services manager, Doug Mayhew. And I asked Doug to wax poetic about his experience in IT and joining the library.
I wasn't aware I had to be poetic.
That would be really clever. No waxing.
I've got 30 years in corporate IT experience. A big chunk of that, over a third of that, as a director of IT for a fairly large company with possible locations out of Mason. I'm really excited to be here at the library. It's my first time working for the public. I feel like this is important work. I feel like it's like I'm contributing, and I'm very psyched to be here. I just think that I think it's a wonderful opportunity for me to give back a little. Does anybody have any questions?
And which township do you reside in?
Union Township.
Thank you.
So if you were a terrorist, would the best thing to do would be to take out the internet? And how are we protected?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that if I were a terrorist, I think I would probably go after the infrastructure. Using something like the virus packages that they used in around 2000 in Iraq. I think something like that would probably be most effective. Also, you know, the systems are pretty well hardened. I think you have to do some physical damage at some point. But, you know, I try to stay away from terrorism.
That's good.
Welcome.
Well, welcome, Doug.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Also in front of you is the annual statement of expectations that everybody should sign and either turn in or leave at your place, and we'll pick them up after the meeting. There's in your packet is email reminders about using fast mail and the trustee appointment schedule of whose term is expiring and when. So that is in your packet. Jumping to my report. As always, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library of Claremont County numbers go up every day or change every day. We are now at 6,939 enrolled, so that's 51.2% of the eligible children in Claremont County. And as stated in my report, we have identified goals for the year. The statistics, both circulation and door counts, are in the packet. Just a reminder that last year, I think, is reflective of the change in the auto renewal numbers. So why we see that difference in 2022-2021 circulation is due to the change in the auto renewal that we're down, even though our door counts are up. I think that's the explanation there. I included in the board packet, just as a refresher reminder, the goals and action areas from the strategic plan. I know you see the report every month and you see my highlights, but I just wanted to throw that in there just as a reminder. And the highlights this month are over 1,400 donated food items for our food drive, which is excellent. We partnered with Interparish Ministries there, and they distributed the food to local Claremont County food banks. We have conducted focus groups. Do I hear something?
Did
you hear
it's
terrorism. It sounded like the radio.
Oh, it probably was the weather radio. So we conducted a focus group. We had two sessions of the school focus group just to find out exactly how outreach collection services would be anticipated, or if there's interest in or need from the school districts. And we got some good feedback and thumbs up about the possibility of offering this service. One of the questions will be on the school's end is how they logistically handle this service and implement it on the school's end. So we've got two more focus groups scheduled. One is for child cares and one is for senior facilities. So we'll take that information back when we are kind of developing our plan, a plan of attack. Putting this service in place. Also in the board packet, if you remember, this is going back a year, we did ask, as a result of this conversation, I think, at the board meeting, about what are ways that we can improve access for our public, for the residents of Claremont County, and what are ways we can reduce barriers to access. And ask the staff, the branch managers to go back and department managers to go back and have a conversation with their staff about how they can improve access. And I finally got to assimilating all the data, and I made a pie chart that gives the top, I think it's six items that the managers and staff felt that were really the barriers to access. The one top one that we hear the most about from managers and staff is fines and how fines create a barrier. The other one is extending the time that accounts go to collections. And then another really interesting one I thought was the library as a polling location and how that could bring in a lot of individuals outside of our regular user base. So I do have a call into the Board of Elections about that concept and wanted to give Amy Buskey at New Richmond a shout out for suggesting that idea. So we have talked about fines on the administrative team, fine-free access. This is overdue fine-free is pretty much standard anymore in public libraries. Some libraries still charge fines. Many do not, and we want to kind of talk this through and present a potential plan of what fine-free might look like for the Claremont County Public Library. So we don't have anything yet, but to be responsive to the comments about barriers to access, we're going to take a look at that. If you have read your branch department update, you will have noticed a photo of the two Altamakers that are going to be added to the Union Township and Felicity branches, so we're excited about that. Leslie's been working really, really hard to bring our volunteers back. She's got a lot of pieces in place, still a few things that she's finishing up, and I've mentioned several times that the new protocols for volunteers will include an official background check. Moving on, the second annual Cozy Winter Read is doing extremely well, and I noticed a typo in my report. It is not surprising that department's goal was met. They have surpassed the department's goal only 2 weeks into the program. And actually, since then, we're about 50% over the goal. So the registration this morning is 1,438, and the goal was 1,000. So winter reading program is definitely well embraced here in the county. We're really excited about that. And great job to the CED team for coming up with this. I think this was one of Teresa's babies. Mm-hmm. So we're real excited about that.
Is that countywide, and is that adults only, or is that all ages?
It is countywide, all branches. It started out more as an adult program, but we had a lot of interest from family members who wanted to participate, and we are all about encouraging reading, so we said yes. Yes, sign up and participate. So they get a gift of a pair of warm fuzzy socks this year for signing up while supplies last. I think there was some chocolate. I think we're out of chocolate. And then we have a new software tool, a new app called Beanstack, where you log your minutes. We'll be using this for summer reading and 1,000 books before kindergarten. And then for this program, you log your books that you read, and then you get entered into for a drawing. So seems like Beanstack's working really well, and the program's going great. Moving on, as far as the area of service, our value of service, we're focusing on two service goals. I've talked about in the past, the internal customer service standards and working on setting those, so we have our customer service committee working on that. And then also, we're developing a standard of competencies for certain skills, mostly pertaining to circulation. How to use the library lockers is our first one, and we want every staff member to be very competent at all the intricacies, or most of the intricacies, of the library lockers. So the idea is that every month we'll have something that we're highlighting, that the managers go back and work with their staff on reading through the procedures, scheduling the staff to work with team members who are more familiar with the task, and then being scheduled to do the task, so that we have staff that have a high level of competency on certain topics, such as counting money and holds management, as well as the lockers.
So cross-training.
Cross-training, yep. And on our adult and youth services, meeting agendas have been revamped to include those cross-training goals, and also highlighting a reference tool and that we have already in our collection. And that's usually more digital than print these days. There's not too many print reference tools that we have in comparison to digital. But that's been one of Leslie's goals as head of public services, to not just talk about programming at these adult and youth system meetings, but to encompass more of a holistic approach to library services. Another big highlight coming up is our annual science fair. We've hosted this for several years now. This year is going to be at the Owensville United Methodist Church on Saturday, February 4th. Come out and check it out. It's really cool to see the kids, wide age groups from elementary up through high school, participate. And shout out to Christine Brookover at the Batavia branch for leading this team and making the program possible. It takes a lot of work to put on the science fair, and they do a really great job. Also going on is our short story contest. We do that every January, and thanks to Ashley LeMaster, who is our Williamsburg supervisor, for spearheading that event, and the team of judges it takes to read through all of the submissions. And just to let you know, we have a team member out on extended leave and have engaged a courier service to deliver materials on Mondays and Tuesdays between the branches to run our shuttle. Otherwise, we would not be able to make that shuttle run 5 days a week. So we're very glad to make that happen. So that is that report. I talked about the circulation. You have the door counts. Tony, I think your door count projections of where we would end up at the end of 2022. We did have a lot more people coming through our facility in 2022 than we have in the last 2 years. So that's good. I also included my goal report just to see kind of what we're working on, what's been completed so far, and what we're continuing to work on. And then you've got your email account reminders and the Board of Trustees term expirations and your statement of expectations. And that's my report.
Chris, I know that two branches are going to add the 3D printer, and I know, is it Miami and Williamsburg and Bethel?
Yes, you got it.
Okay, so 5 out of 10. What's the protocols for the other 5 so that all 10 branches have the ability to have that?
We are working towards that.
Okay.
We don't have a plan in place, but we're working towards that.
How much do they cost?
They are a few thousand dollars. Lynn would know.
Approximately 5.
Okay. And then there's the ongoing costs of the filament as well.
You know, it was a couple meetings ago in reading the branch updates and talking about 3D printers. It was said that this branch for patrons had 47 projects. And I thought, boy, that's really something. And then after the meeting, Tricia told me that her son had a 3D project, 12 years old, and she sent me a little video of what the kid did. It's pretty impressive. You know what? I went out and I bought one, and I put it together, and I'm about leveling the deck right now and trying to run my first project. But anyhow, but it wasn't $4,000, $250. But anyhow, it was a starter. But I just find that fascinating. And the idea that we're going to have these other branches do that, my gosh, it's technology at its best. Mm-hmm. So, very nice.
I have a couple questions. What kinds of things are being printed on the 3D printers?
Oh, it runs the gamut. What are some of the things that have been printed?
Ghost guns.
Yeah, but there's been some really cool things. Like one guy, I think he printed something to make his lawnmower work. Does anybody know offhand?
Christmas
boring
to be on. If you
have
a list, maybe
something. Yeah, I will be happy to do that.
Photographs of the stuff that's being.
Sure.
The other was, as we were talking about, the age of the people that are the users, and what they're, what my age group kind of people are doing with.
Will do. We'll come up with I'll get a report for you next month.
Thank you. You know, there are. You say, what can you print? As I started into this, there's an aggregator website that collects all the websites from all over the place, and there are millions of different things that can be printed.
It's basically anything that you can physically see.
Exactly right.
You can be printed.
Exactly right.
Yep.
You can 3D print a house.
Oh, yeah.
Not with these, but.
Oh, yes, actually, they are. I get magazines that tell me that they are printing 3D houses.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Chris, I have a couple of questions for you. Not about 3D printing. Back to door counts, getting folks in the door. In the past, I think there have been polls of the public, whether it's formal or just, you know, talking to people as they walk in the door, find out what is keeping them from coming in more often. Is there going to be any additional or new formal polling on either social media or something going out to find out from the public what they want to see or what will get them in the door?
Yeah, actually, this is a current conversation with local library directors about firms that put together polling and other surveys for the public. It is about that time that we survey the public again. The thing is making sure that we want to be transparent about the responses in the polls and be actionable. You know, most of the time when people ask questions about the library, it's, oh, I love my library, I love my library, I wouldn't make any change. I would say that's probably the majority of what we hear. So,
of those that respond, who are probably the users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's time to be looking at surveys again.
And there's ways to in those firms, I'm sure, can help with guiding those questions in a way that you get actionable responses. And
right.
It's not just everything is wonderful, which we love to hear, but still. Awesome. Okay. Another question about the fines. I know you're just starting to talk about that. When you are, the team's ready to bring that back to the board for something actionable, will part of that be what incentive to return a book is going to be in place if we, you know, if the suggestion is to remove the fines? What are other libraries doing to make sure that the books are returned?
Right.
Because, you know,
all we want is our books back.
We want our books back.
The whole piece would have a measure of accountability. It has to, you know. So most libraries charge, they bill for items that aren't returned, just like we do. We bill for items that aren't returned. That might change the date in which an item gets billed, you know, and then it's a billed item stops the car, that kind of thing. So what we'll come up with, that's part of the plan.
Okay, great. And then third question. Apologies for all the questions, but a few meetings ago, there was some question about a potential project at Goshen to do a connector. Has there been any news on that?
I got word from the branch manager today, and it sounds like they were working with township personnel, and it's going to cost around $150,000, I think she said. She hasn't sent me anything via email, but that's where they are right now, because they have to build a bridge over a creek. So the bridge is what is cost prohibitive. I did mention to her about the Appalachian grant. I'm not sure if that part of the county is considered Appalachian, but you know that
the entire county
is. Okay. So I did mention that maybe that could be turned over to the Economic Development Department as part of that grant proposal that they're working on in conjunction with several other counties. So.
And I can't recall, has Goshen zoning like vetted this as well, or?
They're part of the process is what I've been told. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I had. Thank you very much.
Ernie?
Yeah, Chris, first of all, that decision to engage managers with their staff members to discuss the access, I think that's really a good management tool. I think that's talking to the people who are talking to the people. So I think that's really good. But as I was looking at your three focus groups, and it seems to me that some of the other things I've seen, the focus groups were on school personnel from schools, childcare and senior facilities. And so I was wondering, I started thinking about that group of people between school children and seniors and how we're addressing that. And then I was noticing that some of the engagements had gone out to township trustees and or at least planning on it. And then this issue of polling to bring in that adult group that's somewhere between the children and the seniors. And I understand the polling, but I think Judy was saying we're polling the people that are already coming to us. Is there some avenue or some thoughts about somehow approaching those people in that big group in between children and seniors?
There is always talk about how do we reach non-users, you know, and where do we pursue our interests. The thing is how much money do you want to put behind reaching out to county residents, whether or not they're library users or not. Just a postcard campaign is extremely expensive. So it just depends on how much money you want to put behind it, you know. So if that answers your question, these are multiple things going on. The focus groups are to talk to the organizations, agencies, schools that we would be providing an outreach collection service to, so delivering materials, so that really wouldn't service a regular homeowner. So they're not included in that focus group conversation. But in terms of strategic planning, when we did our last strategic plan, we sent out surveys to all of our cardholders. There was a survey posted on, a link to our survey posted on our Facebook page, and then there were print copies available in the branches. But again, how do you get to those individuals who are not using us? Then there were focus groups held at individual branches, and invitations were sent out to community members to participate in those as well. So that's what we did the last time around. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm thinking back, I forget which branch it was, that maybe it was Batavia, went to the dollar store and
yes.
got permission to just set up the table.
Right.
And when I was in one of the high school, Milford High School basketball game the other night, when we went in, there were a number of different entities, organizations who would just set up tables for information, and maybe that would be something we could think about doing so that we're not going to the expense, but we're exposing people to the library,
mm-hmm.
And you know, just to have them stop off and pick up a piece of paper or something. So anyway,
Sign up for a card.
Pardon me?
Sign up for a library card.
Yeah, something easy like that. But again, I think having the managers work with the staff was really a good idea.
Thank you. I think, you know, you've commented on the branch department updates about how engaged our branches are in our communities, and that's a regular occurrence. Typically, we attend literacy nights at schools, and a lot of our branches will take collections and do mobile checkouts, you know, depending on how much time they have and what the school wants to do. But there's a lot of opportunity there. I'm not sure that anybody has gone to a sporting event at a school and set up a table. That's a really interesting idea, and I appreciate the input.
Well, like Ed said, you know, just a sign that said, sign up for a library card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's quick and dirty, but you kind of got
Yeah, and that's why we participate in the fair. So.
Chris, when you did the survey that you spoke about to patrons, cardholders, any idea or was there any thought to taking a look at locations within our 10 branches when you sent those out? How many patrons did we have in comparison to the population of that particular area so that you could at least see, is it 10%? Is it less than that? Is it more than that, depending on the populace? And whatnot, I just think that would be very interesting to see of the over 200,000 people we have in Claremont County, and then break it down by either homes, because you could have children and both adults or teenagers involved having a card, so that you were only counting it as one. In other words, let's say there were 50,000 in those 50,000 units were patrons.
It's been a few years since we did that survey. That certainly would be something to take into account doing it the next round.
I'm just saying, if you wanted to target specific areas or at any one time and just say, here's how many units we have, how can we get more people engaged? Because as I understand it, in order to utilize the facilities, you can do it electronically. You don't have to come into the branch. You can ascertain all those things online. But do they still have to have, quote unquote, an e-card in order to do that? So, you know, are we counting those as well as what I'm going to call
traditional?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Statistics on those are kept. Yes. On the number of e-cards that we have.
Okay.
So.
It's just a thought to try to see, okay, how, you know, or even tell them, okay, and if you have a setup and whatever. You don't have to come into the library. You have, you have all this access for all of these materials, and you too can be still engaged as a patron.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one purpose that the board serves, right, is to advocate and explain all of the myriad of services that we have in the communities in which you're involved in. And all of the, you know, because everybody thinks about libraries as about books, right? I mean, I think we have one of the best brands in history, because when you think libraries, you think books. And there's just so much more that libraries provide now that, and the way to get that information, you're right. It's not just coming into the brick and mortar. It is, digital copies are available of materials, and you can get that 24/7. So, I mean, that's why we've concentrated so heavily on customer service and our welcoming behaviors, because what people want in that brick and mortar experience is that relationship piece, right? And that's what digital cannot provide, you know, is that one-on-one. So it's just so important. I think that's the true gift that our brick and mortars and the staff that work in the branches provide, is that welcoming experience. Now, I just read an article in a professional journal about the importance of customer service, and she differentiated passive customer service with active customer service. And the passive was book displays and comfortable furniture and making sure that your branch is inviting when you come in, you know. And then the active is the actual friendliness, the eye contact, the greeting. And so I shared all that article with all of the branch managers on our customer service committee. So we're always pushing towards that excellent customer service. And I think Claremont County is really, really good at that. I don't know if I've shared with you or not. I've shared it with the staff a couple times. I get emails from our Google account, even though the community engagement department is the one that sets that account up. My name is on there. My email is on there. And anytime somebody leaves a Google review, I get this notification of a review. And all the time, they're five-star reviews. I can't tell you any other, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 star. I'm sure they've happened, but it is the vast majority are 5-star reviews. So maybe those are the only ones that pop up in my email, but I don't think so. So anyway.
Any other comments, questions? Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Let's move on to new business. I need a motion for Resolution 2023-1, Acceptance of Gifts to the Library.
So moved.
Stas makes a motion.
Second.
Ms. Kosiga seconds. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Resolution 2023-02, Disposal of Unneeded or Obsolete Library Inventory. We need a roll call vote for this.
So moved.
Ms. Waits makes the motion.
Second.
Mr. Ramos seconds. Roll call.
Mr. Cardinal?
Yes.
Ms. Waits?
Yes.
Ms. Kosiga?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
Ms. Goff?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Resolution 2023-03, General Reserve Fund to the General Fund. Ms. Kosiga makes the motion.
Second.
Mr. Humphrey seconds. All in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, item four, Resolution 2023-04, Resolution authorizing the Director and the Fiscal Officer to execute documents on behalf of the Board of Trustees.
So moved.
Ms. Kosiga makes the motion.
Second.
Ms. Wade seconds. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 2023-05, U.S. Communities Cooperative Purchasing Resolution. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Humphrey makes the motion.
Second.
Ms. Wade seconds. Do you want to just comment on that, Maura?
There's actually one that's missing on this.
Uh-huh, the one that...
We have U.S. You were really thinking about the vacation.
I was. U.S. Communities and DAS, the Department of Administrative Services, we pass these resolutions every year. They're housekeeping resolutions. Chris, can I have that?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm special. U.S. Communities and Department of Administrative Services, we pass these resolutions annually. They're housekeeping resolutions that allow us to participate in cooperative purchasing so that if we're looking at a project that could possibly put us above a prevailing wage or a bid threshold, we can use these agreements that we have with these two organizations to simplify the process.
Those organizations have agreements with other vendors.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and they have actually gone through the competitive bidding process.
Generally, they also provide very good pricing. Mm-hmm.
We are very careful. We have had one bad experience with the Department of Administrative Services vendor, and they were actually kicked off the list. So we're still very careful, and we do our due diligence, but it lets the onus of the competitive bidding project on the state rather than on us.
So I'm a little confused as to the process. We're asking, hereby requests authority in the name of the board. The other one, I understand, it seems like we're giving the authority for the director and fiscal officer to enter into those contracts. I'm not sure I understand how the trustees are requesting authority from somebody.
We're actually requesting those two entities,
yes,
to be part of the organization and to pay any fees in and as it relates to that membership and to authorize staff to utilize those two entities in the purchase of goods or services.
That's correct. Actually, U.S., I don't believe there's a fee for U.S. communities, but they do require the resolution. And I know the Department of Administrative Services does have a fee now. They waived their fee during COVID, but they're requiring a fee again in order for us to be part of their program.
So with the U.S. Communities Purchasing Alliance, we have to ask permission to be a part of that?
We have to have a resolution.
We send a resolution to them, and then we are part of it.
We have to have a resolution saying we want to be.
They require it for participation.
Okay, thanks.
So are you going to use the resolution number for both entities, or are you going to add another resolution? Which
yeah,
I thought
let's
you
add
did.
A resolution six, because they are separate resolutions.
I thought they were
going to ask.
Okay, so do we have a motion?
Not yet.
Five is actually the DAS, the Department of Administrative Services. So if you're looking at your agenda, change what is a five now to a six, and five will go between four and six.
I got it.
U.S. Communities is actually resolution number six that was sent out to you.
Right.
Do you have a motion on resolution stick together? If not, I'll make it.
We do.
Okay.
For resolution 6-2306, you moved, Ed, and I seconded.
Very good.
Okay, so we need a roll call vote on that.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Mr. Barfield?
Yes.
Ms. Wade?
Yes.
Ms. Sika?
Yes.
Mr. Rama?
Yes.
Ms. Dodd?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we need a motion for resolution 2022-2023-5.
So moved.
And that was for DAS?
This is one of the...
This for DAS?
This is for DAS.
Right.
For DAS.
Yep, second.
Okay, we need a roll call vote for this.
Who was the first?
Judy.
Made the motion.
Another roll call. Mr. Cardinal?
Yes.
Ms. Wade?
Yes.
Ms. Sika?
Yes.
Mr. Rama?
Yes.
Ms. Dodd?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I will apologize for this. I clearly copied and pasted this from last year, and last year we did not require a DAS resolution.
That's right.
So we had them in the packet, but they just didn't make it to the agenda.
That's right.
Copy, paste, I know. See, if it was in Excel, I wouldn't have a problem. Word thing again.
No comment.
Copy, paste works in both.
Okay, and the last item, we're going to defer that to the next meeting, the appointment of the standing committees, just so that Ms. Doss can go ahead and scratch her head a little bit and figure that out. Okay, and I guess the last item is, do I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Mr. Humphrey makes the motion.
Second.
Mr. Rama, second.